Good morning. I'm going to have Sam and Claire come up here, a couple of the future of the church here, going to do a little reading for us. So we're going to talk about the gift that keeps on giving, and why it would be that Jesus could say it's better for him to leave. So we'll see how that goes. Sam, you want to read John 14, 16 through 18? This is God's word.
And I, with the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you.
I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. How hard is it for you to believe that it was better for Jesus to leave? I mean, that's a pretty hard saying for me, because I do think that it would be easier and better if Jesus was here, if I was walking around Palestine with Jesus, getting to hear him, getting to see him every day, and being friends with him on earth. I don't know if it's just me, but that just seems like, that seems better to me than life as I know it oftentimes. And but it's pretty clear from what Jesus said that it was better for him to leave. I feel more like Thomas. You know, Thomas, this happened right after this is the scene with Thomas where some of the disciples had seen Jesus after he had gone away, and everybody was pretty devastated and confused. And Thomas just said, if I could just put my finger into the nail hole or put my hand into where the sword pierced his side, I would believe. I'm much more like that than somebody who's got a better situation since Jesus has left. I also think about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I relate to these guys also. This Jesus has disappeared. It seems like everything has fallen apart. They don't know what's going on. They're confused. There's some reports that some people have seen Jesus, but who can believe that? You know, we thought that the kingdom was coming, and now it's not. And Jesus came alongside them and met with them and explained it to him. But I feel like those two disciples. But Jesus says the gift of the Holy Spirit is so incredible that it's actually best if he leave. And he said if he leaves, he would send us the gift. You know, and it's no coincidence that Christmas is associated with giving. If you think about it, you know, it's our giving holiday, right? I mean, there's other times of the year maybe we give gifts, but this is the holiday where we give gifts. And it's no accident. I looked this up in my handy-dandy smartphone, and you can do the same thing. The word gift appears 78 times in the New Testament. It appears more times in the New Testament than it does in the Old Testament, even though the New Testament's much shorter. It appears 78 times because what we... our relationship with God, what God, how God deals with us is as a gift. And he has sent the gift of his Spirit. So it's no accident that Christmas is characterized by gift giving, because it just expresses the heart of God, the heart of the Father in sending Jesus, and the heart of Jesus in sending the Spirit. If you've got your Bible, I would like to read one more little passage here. Acts 1. This is right after the promise was given. Jesus has left the building. He has ascended. So starting in the beginning of the book of Acts, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, the gift of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the picture we get is something new started with Jesus. Sometimes we have a hard time figuring out how much stayed the same and how much changed when Jesus came. But something new started with Jesus. There was a new covenant. There was a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Most of what you hear about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active at creation. You'll remember that. The Spirit hovered over the waters and was involved with creation. After that, it's mostly the Holy Spirit gifting and anointing the office holders, gifting the kings, gifting the prophets, gifting the priests. But you don't hear much about the Holy Spirit in relationship to the rank and file. But when Jesus came, something new happened, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, and it was poured out on all flesh. It was poured out on all the church, so that it's not just the priests, it's not just the kings that have the Holy Spirit, but Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit to be a helper like himself to his church. He would be a teacher, a counselor, a witness, a healer, an advocate, an intercessor. So something new started with Jesus, and it continues through the work of the Holy Spirit. There's actually a bigger dividing line before and after Jesus than there is from the time Jesus showed up until the end of the age. We're still living in that age of the new covenant, of the outpouring of the Spirit. So we receive the Spirit in salvation, right? The Word says that if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to God. But if you do belong to God, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we understand that conceptually, but it kind of stops there. And I would just like to, I don't know, raise our appreciation or raise our expectation of what it means that Jesus has sent another helper, and that it was good for him to go. We need to realize that this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, continues to bring gifts. He's the gift that keeps on giving. He's the gift that brings gifts. And whatever God does in our midst now and through the church, he does through the Holy Spirit. And it's better that Jesus left, because the work of Jesus is multiplied now. It's not limited to one guy walking the trails and the byways of Palestine, but the Spirit's been poured out and gifted to his church, and that's why we are here. If the Spirit hadn't been poured out to bring the kingdom and to advance the gospel and to bring the good news to the Gentiles, and to all the nations, we wouldn't be here. The fact that there's people here from Africa and from Europe and from Asia and from Latin America and from wherever else we are is because the Spirit was poured out and the ministry and the work of Jesus was multiplied and spread and continued what he had started. And that is how we now relate to God. That's how we are connected with God. It's not limited to the prophets, priests, and kings. It's been lavishly given to us. So, and I think still this part of the story, I think is still kind of easy for us. It doesn't cost us too much to believe that the Spirit's been poured out in order to for the gospel to go out into all the earth and for the God's unfolding plan of redemption to occur. But not only is the Spirit at work on this cosmic scale, the Spirit is actually at work in us and in our and in this congregation. The Holy Spirit is in you. If you belong to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. I'm just going to ask you, let's close our eyes and let's just say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, that your Spirit lives in me. Now let's open our eyes and let's look at the people next to you and say, I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit lives among us. His gifts come to us. His gifts come to you. The Holy Spirit has come to you and to you and to you. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. In you, Rose. Hallelujah. Amen? Right. So it's not just this theoretical or this theological concept, you know, that, okay, it's part of God's unfolding plan. He's poured out his Spirit. If you look up the Spirit, which, again, you can do with your smartphone, the Spirit occurs over 500 times in the New Testament. And if you look at it, when I looked at it, what I noticed about when the Bible refers to the Spirit, it's never theoretical. There's always some action involved. There's always something tangible. There's always something happening. There's something good and needful that the Spirit is doing. You check it out. He's active, and he's real, and he's personal. And when it talks about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about real action among real people doing what's necessary for that occasion. Just check out your phone. You'll see that I'm right. He's here, and he's making a splash. So I'd like to talk about what that means or what the implications are for us, the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in me, and the Holy Spirit lives in Claire and Sam and Kevin and Benjamin and Caban. Kayla, Justin, Alice, the Holy Spirit lives in you. What are the implications of this? Okay. So we understand we receive the Spirit. If you're born again, if you were born again, which is a big question to consider, but if you were born again, the Spirit dwells in you. If the Spirit dwells in you, what are the implications? What does that look like? What happens? I'd like to use the language of baptism for this. In the verses we read in Acts 1:1-5, it said to wait in Jerusalem for the promise, for the gift that Jesus had promised to send, which was the Holy Spirit. And you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So there's a question, and we've got some great theologians here, so I'm not going to press this too far. But is the baptism of the Spirit, is that what we receive when we're saved? Is it what we receive after we're saved? Is it a one-time event? Or is it a description of something that needs to characterize our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, a baptismal relationship? And I like the baptism language. We also have the filling language, where we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bob, the Lord commands you, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. Desire earnestly the Holy Spirit. The baptism, the idea of a baptism, one of the root concepts behind that word is to be soaked, to be saturated. It can mean immersed, or it can mean to be poured over as long as you're soaked. Sprinkling is not a very good picture, but pouring so that you are saturated and soaked with the element that you're being baptized in. We've been baptized into Christ. We've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, or into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it's a picture of how they would dye cloth. That's the common secular use of the word, was they baptized cloth. They would make cloth out of whatever they made cloth out of, linen and cotton, and they'd take this raw cloth and they would get berries or roots or whatever, and they'd boil those down till they were a deep pigment, and then they would soak the cloth in the dye until the dye permeated and soaked into the fabric. And so that when you took the fabric out of the dye, you could wear it, you could wash it, and the color had permeated and had saturated the cloth. And so I see the need to be baptized in the Spirit continually, or to be filled again and again. Even though we've received the Spirit, if we are Christ, we have the Spirit. But we're still instructed to be filled with the Spirit. I think we can be instructed to be soaked, to be saturated with the Holy Spirit in such a way that it has this impact, that it has this tangible effect that we had talked about. Because I think we're like, I am. I'll just say for myself, I'm like a piece of cloth that gets washed too many times, and I get bleached out as far as my relationship with God goes and as far as my fellowship with the Spirit goes. I walk through life oftentimes with just a glimmer or a shadow of I know what God has wants to baptize me with and wants to saturate me with. And so I'm just going to throw that out there, that we are commanded to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel bleached out, I encourage you to do that. So it's not a first, it's not a once and only experience. It's not a secondary experience. It's an ongoing picture of our relationship with God. We're leaky vessels. God can pour His Spirit into us, and the next day or the next hour or during the next challenge or the next temptation, we need the Spirit again. So there's, just to kind of give us a little bit of a theology here of the Spirit, the Word talks about the gifts of the Spirit. So we have the gift, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the gift, which I have promised. But then it also speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are just what God gives us to do what needs to be done. Right? There's multiple lists. I came up with six different lists in the New Testament that talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and none of them are comprehensive. And I think that's by design, because what the Holy Spirit gives us, what God gives us, is what's necessary for us to do His will in that situation. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrations, tongues, wisdom, knowledge, discernment of spirits, the work of evangelism, the work of serving, the work of encouraging, the work of giving money generously, the work of leadership, the work of mercy, the work of marriage is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The work of celibacy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Anyone who speaks or who serves for the Lord. So these are not, it's not a comprehensive list, right? But the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, is here in you and in our midst to give us what we need to do what God calls us to do. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. There's also works that are overcome, evil works that are overcome by walking in the Spirit, which we are commanded to do. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit. We're commanded to stay in step with the Spirit. And some of those works, and again, this isn't comprehensive, but these are works that we can potentially overcome by walking in the Spirit. And maybe we ought to just listen to these and see if God would touch your heart, if God would be speaking to you about sin in your heart or in your life that God wants to remove, that he wants to deliver you from by the work of the Spirit. Not by the work of the flesh, not by your own efforts, because you've failed at doing that. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm still here with areas of my life that I have not been delivered from, right? But here are some examples. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like those, the word says. Any of the nastiness, any of the sorts of nastiness that we struggle to overcome. God has sent his Spirit, has given us the gift of the Spirit, and asked us, commanded us to walk in the Spirit. And by walking in the Spirit, there is power to overcome these sins. That's Galatians 5:19-21, if you want to read that. There's also fruit developed by walking in the Spirit. This is Galatians 5:22. It's actually the next verse. This kind of all goes together. You can see in these evil works that are overcome by walking in the Spirit. Some of them are personal. A lot of them are corporate. A lot of them apply to living together as a family in your home or living together as a church community. God has given us the Spirit to overcome strife, jealousy, anger, rivalries, divisions, envy, all that stuff. Those are corporate, evils that are manifest in a corporate situation. And the fruit is similar. Some of it is personal. Some of it is worked out or expressed in community or expressed in our family relationships. Galatians 5:22, and just kind of soak in this. Let this saturate you for a second. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy. Are you totally saturated with joy? I would like more joy. That's an untapped resource in my life. Joy. Peace, patience. Here's another underrated quality, kindness. goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, any other good quality that God would want to work in our hearts that is necessary for the occasion, that's needful, that the Holy Spirit could grow in us to meet the needs of our real life. Those are the fruit of the Spirit, and they're developed by walking in the Spirit, which we are commanded to do. So here's just questions. We're coming on a new year. We've been reveling in the gift of the Father in sending Jesus. We're hearing about the gift of Jesus in sending the Spirit to continue the work that he started. This coming year, do you think it's possible that we could experience more of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit in our personal lives and in the lives of our church? Do we need a good soaking in the Spirit? Do we need to be saturated? Do we need to be dipped again into the Spirit? Do we need to have the Spirit poured over us again to deal with the situations that we are likely to face this year? I think of the Hubbards. Man, God bless you guys. You know, they launched out, packed their stuff in a truck and moved to this crazy city. Brother, you're going to need the saturation and power and infilling of the Holy Spirit this year. Amen? Amen. And he's promised to give us the Spirit. That's our confidence, is he's promised to give us the Spirit. He's already said, yes, I will send this gift that keeps on giving. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He commands us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He's commanded us to walk in the Spirit. He's commanded us that by the Spirit, we are to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We're to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. He says that the Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies and empower us to obey him, empower us to follow him, empower us with healing and deliverance. That's what he's promised. He said he will pour out his Spirit on his sons and daughters. So what can we do? I think we have to answer honestly. And this is a serious question. Do you have the Spirit? Do you have the witness in your heart that you've been forgiven of your sins? That Jesus' sacrifice, the sending of the Father, the giving of Jesus to this world to live and to die and to be raised for us, have you appropriated that in your own heart and in your life? Is that a reality to you? And I'm not saying it's perfect. My level of faith hovers at about 51%. I've got a lot of competing thoughts in my life, a lot of competing forces in my life. But the faith I have is in Jesus. Sometimes it's this much faith. Sometimes it's maybe this much faith. But my faith is in Jesus. Is your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and to be made right with God? If so, he says that you have the Spirit. But is there a gap between your experience and what you sense is possible in your life with God? Are you bleached out? Are there specific areas of growth that you sense he is calling you to? Are there sins he wants to deliver you from? We need to leave the gift distribution to God. He's sovereign and has his own plans and strategies. You might want to be a miracle worker. I would like to be a miracle worker. I would like to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But Jesus might want me to be a helper. Or you might want to be healed. And I hope you are healed, and we pray for you to be healed. And it might be the Lord's will by the Spirit to heal you, to give you gifts, to give you that gift of the Holy Spirit. He might also give you the gift of instructing you through your suffering for a time. See, I don't know what the answers are. I don't know what the gifts are. I'm not in charge of giving out the gifts. I'm saying God wants to give us gifts, and he wants to manifest his spirit in the ways that are necessary for the situation. And he promises to give us enough. Whatever God has promised to give, and whatever God gives is enough. In this life, we only have the down payment. That's a whole other area of discussion with the Spirit. We have the deposit. We have the earnest money. We have the ticket, but we don't have the full manifestation. You know, we're going to end this life with unresolved issues. We're going to end this life with areas of brokenness in our life. But God has promised substantial work and substantial healing in our life, and has promised us the Spirit to walk with us. And it's up to him as far as how he works that out. So we'll leave that, the gift distribution, to God. I do want to encourage us to walk in the Spirit as he has commanded. And I encourage us to, I don't necessarily want to make this a New Year's resolution, but I just want to encourage us to develop a life of spiritual formation and spiritual disciplines. Because we get bleached out. You know, everybody here that is serving in the church, it will kill you if you're not being replenished, if you're not being baptized again in the Holy Spirit, if you're not being saturated, if you're not being fed, if you're not being filled. We just don't have it in ourselves to be good. We don't have it in ourselves to be kind, to be gentle. It's too much work. It wears us out. It bleaches us out. So we need to nurture our spiritual life, to get to know the Holy Spirit through the Word and prayer, and to not neglect the gift. You know, if I put you on the spot, many of you would sense things that God has called you to do or ways that he's gifted you in all different ways. Maybe he's gifted you to be unusually patient. Maybe he's equipped you to teach children. Maybe he's equipped you to lead in ministry. Maybe he's equipped you to be a parent or a spouse or a friend or whatever he's gifted you to do. I think most of us, if we were put on the spot, could say, well, yeah, maybe God has gifted me this way. Well, stir up the gift that is in you. Again, according to the command of God, stir up the gift that is in you. Seek the Spirit. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And do not neglect the gift. I want to encourage us to be bold, to step out, because we're not talking about your own goodness or your own ability or your own patience or your own kindness. We're talking about the promise of God to gift us in whatever is necessary for the occasion. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus that I mentioned earlier, they were bleached out. They'd been following Jesus. I can't remember. Actually, I don't think they show up anywhere else. One of them has a name. I think one of them doesn't, but they're not one of the top 12. I know that. But they're just walking along, and they thought something good was going to happen. Jesus was going to bring the kingdom. Jesus was going to heal and deliver, and now he's gone. But Jesus showed up and walked with them, and he ate with them. And it said that they recognized him in the meal. And he explained to them, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He explained to him all the things concerning Jesus. Jesus went back and brought out the truth of his word of the Old Testament to explain to them about Jesus, and light started going off for them. And that's what we need. We need to walk with Jesus. We need to eat with Jesus. We need to be soaked and saturated in Jesus. So I'm going to say, I want us to have hope for 2016, for infilling of the Spirit in our midst. God, the Lord is in me. The Lord is among us. And the potential there in the fullness of the Spirit is without limit, honestly, according to whatever God's plan is. If we want to see this neighborhood changed, if we want to see the church to be better, if we want to see our brokenness and sin dealt with, if we want to be more effective in our service to God, let's keep in step with the Spirit this year. Let's ask the Lord to fill us with the Spirit, and He's promised to do that. Jesus Himself promised it. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, I guess, and Father, we just present ourselves to you. We do not have these things in ourselves, Lord. We do not possess these gifts unless you give them to us. We do not have this fruit in our life, Lord, unless you grow it in us. We do not have these qualities, Lord, unless you would give them to us by your Spirit. We do not have victory over sin, Lord, unless you would help us. We do not have healing and deliverance over the brokenness that we carry around in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, unless you would help us. And we just thank you for the promise, Lord. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that as you said, it was better for you to leave so that you could pour out your Spirit on your church. And we look forward, Lord, to 2016. Look forward to your grace. We look forward to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We look forward to answers to prayers that we don't even have the courage to ask. And we offer all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.